This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi, a technology that's not only become available in the last few years. Egg freezing is allowing the women to have more fertility options, but its newness is also cause for concern and misunderstanding. Of course, here to explain more are both our fertility specialists, Dr. Prashant Nadkarni, together with Dr. Helena Lim. Welcome to the show, both of you. How are you?
Very good, thank you, Mira.
I didn't think both of you would end up on the same show, you know.
We had nothing to do. Clinic had finished and there wasn't any rain.
That's so very nice. That is such a nice feeling, you know, to know that, you know, you made your way here in time to do the show. You know what? When I was reading, right, in the UK, putting your eggs on ice is said to be the best fertility insurance, but few women actually do it. Is it all hype, Dr. Prashant? What do you think?
I didn't see that article, but I'm sure it's wrong.
I'm not giving it to you.
It's not the best insurance.
It isn't?
No.
Why not?
I mean, okay, if you need insurance, it's a reasonable insurance. But the best insurance to having children is to have them.
Yeah.
You know, people think that freezing eggs and then postponing your fertility for another 5 years is the same as having your children now. It isn't. There's no guarantee in 5 years' time that your egg freezing is going to work.
Mm-hmm. That is a misconception.
Total misconception. I'm sure you've got it somewhere down your list of questions later. But I think as starters, while it is a new technology and while it's available, it's not for everyone. And I don't think women should see that as an option unless they really have no other choice.
Right. And what is no other choice, Dr. Helena? Under what circumstances would you encourage someone to freeze their eggs?
I think in circumstances whereby women are going through certain treatments such as chemotherapy and radiotherapy, mm-hmm. whereby all this treatment would render them infertile by destroying their healthy follicles and healthy eggs. So in this kind of scenario, if they do not have a partner as such, especially those who were diagnosed with cancer at a very early stage, early years of their life, let's say in their late teens of early 20s, mm-hmm. then this is a very good option.
Okay. Yeah. So hysterectomies, chemotherapy are probably the reasons why one would opt to freeze their eggs.
Well, not hysterectomy, because in a hysterectomy, you remove the uterus and then you can't have a child anyway.
That's right. Oh, yeah, so, that is true.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you had cancer, which needed either radiation to your ovaries or chemotherapy to your ovaries, two things happen. Number one, it may actually knock out your ovaries and you may not have any eggs left. That's not so common. With some forms of chemotherapy, it's more common. But the majority of the time, a woman's fertility needs time to recover from that. It's more for men than for women. It's always been the case in that sperm freezes better than eggs. As you said, it's a new technology. It takes time for people to understand that. But egg freezing has now become pretty much commonplace, or certainly women are offered in the West. When a diagnosis of cancer is made, one of the things you talk about is not just how long will you live, because women with cancer now, especially young women with leukemias and things like that, with bone marrow transplant, they're living forever. Survival rates for childhood cancer, many of them exceed 90%. So then the next thing happens, what kind of life am I going to have once this is treated? Mm-hmm. Will I be able to get married? Will I be able to have children? So then fertility now has become another part of the discussion, the whole discussion. You know, this is what your treatment's going to be. But before we do that, would you like to freeze your eggs? You know, all of that takes place.
Do you see a higher take-up rate for egg freezing in Malaysia?
Higher compared to some time ago?
Yes.
The answer is no. I don't think things have significantly changed. We still here haven't got to the point of full-scale counselling. When someone's diagnosed cancer, the first thing that strikes people is my child going to die? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to die?
Yeah.
And that long-term, what happens if I survive, doesn't come in at all. Just, I want it done now. I want it done as soon as you can.
That is true, actually.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's frightening.
Yeah.
It's enormously frightening. But cancer specialists who are aware often will ring us up or tell the patients, look, these are our options. Very often, they also get carried away with the flow. You know, this person's got cancer. We need to get on with it. Why are we wasting time? Because to do a cycle of egg collection and freezing may take you anything between 1 and 2 months. And so you're delaying that whole process. So the first thing is get that cancer out of the body before it spreads anymore.
Okay.
So there are pros and cons of egg freezing. It really depends on what stage, what tumor you have, how old you are, various things like that.
Okay, and all of this, as you said, comes with counseling.
Comes with understanding the disease, because the different types of cancer as well.
What is the process involved in egg freezing, Dr. Helena? I mean, what happens?
Okay, it actually involves putting this woman through a treatment cycle, which is actually very similar to an IVF. It involves giving them injections to up to 10 to 12 days to stimulate all the eggs to grow. And until all the follicles grow to a certain size, mm-hmm. then we take the woman to the operating theatre, put a needle through the vagina, and pick up harvest the eggs, and then go through the lab and freeze all the eggs. So this process is actually very similar to IVF. It's just that we take away the fertilization of the eggs part, mm-hmm. and we do not replace any embryo back to the uterus. So
right.
Yeah.
And
so
how long can you keep freeze your eggs for?
There doesn't seem to be any end point. I mean, you know, countries have laws as to how long you can keep embryos. So if you haven't come and asked for your embryos back after 10 years, by law in most countries, the clinics are able to dispose of them. That's because, you know, we don't know how long to keep them for.
Yep. Unless
it's specified. Now, when people freeze eggs, very often if you freeze it at the age of, say, 17 or 18, you might come back at the age of 41 and say, now I have a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Once you freeze and freeze properly, it's stored in liquid nitrogen, which is the coldest known natural temperature on Earth. There is no metabolism in the cell, zero. So it's actually as good 10 years down the line, mm-hmm. as it was on the day you froze it. And the only thing that can damage that cell, whether it's a sperm or an egg or an embryo, is cosmic radiation.
Okay.
So from the sun. And that's why our dewars are all lead-lined. You can't put an X-ray through it. So that's the only thing that can damage an embryo or a sperm. So once you've frozen it, as far as we know, it's probably forever.
Right. There seems to be a science that has improved over time as far as egg freezing is concerned. What is the science that they're referring to?
The reason you're speaking about it now, and you wouldn't have spoken about it, say, 10 years ago, is because the science has improved.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, the traditional way of freezing embryos, if you applied that to egg freezing, the outcome would have been virtually always failure. To give you an example, the world's first frozen embryo baby was born in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
The first from egg freezing was 1986. And after that, the next was something like 10 years later or 15 years later. It's just so bad, egg freezing, because eggs are unstable, inherently unstable. They need, well, all women need men to stimulate them.
Oh, yes,
right?
Yes, sure. Right.
So an egg needs a sperm.
There are two of us here.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were on my side, Mira.
Watch what you say.
But an egg traditionally needed a sperm to stabilize the chromosomes. If you look at it, the egg is the only cell in the body that you can see with your naked eye. It's the largest cell in the human body. And it contains all the processes that make us what we are. We come from the egg. The sperm's only function is to bring dad's little chromosome in there. But the chromosomes are also in the egg, very unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And the process of freezing and thawing puts enormous strain on those chromosomes. And so sometimes when you thaw them, they just don't come out right. In fact, most of the time they didn't. That was the old way of freezing. And the old way of freezing was that you took an egg from room temperature and you took it down to -196 over a period of about 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
very, very slowly, removing fluid, replacing it with something that prevented ice crystals from forming. The new way of freezing, which is called vitrification, which's been around for a while, but finally someone figured out the exact formula to use in Japan, takes that egg from room temperature to -196 at less than a millisecond.
Wow.
The rate of temperature loss is 10,000 degrees per second. It's that fast. So it's called flash freezing. It doesn't even have time to realize it's been frozen.
Right.
And then the thaw is equally fast. So it freezes as it's standing and it thaws immediately. Mm-hmm. So it remains stable. And that's revolutionized the world, not just of egg freezing, but also embryo freezing. Embryo freezing pregnancy rates are astronomical these days.
Is embryo freezing done the same way?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
This technique came from embryo freezing.
Right, okay.
They said, if embryos can be this stable, why not eggs? And up to that point, you couldn't freeze eggs. I mean, if you froze 100, you probably got one or two out that looked reasonably normal. The rest really wouldn't. So that was the first big thing, that there was an ability to do it. But just because there is an ability doesn't mean you want to do it, right? I mean, you know, you got to push. The next big push came from Germany and Italy. And that's why it's become big now. Because in Italy, the Vatican pushed, which wasn't wrong, pushed for a law that says you cannot freeze embryos. Because if you freeze embryos and don't use them, you're going to throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
And so where do you draw the line between abortion and that?
Yep.
So that meant either women who were doing IVF had to collect only one or two eggs, or you have to freeze the extra eggs. Because in a normal IVF, we collect more than, because not every egg is good, not every embryo is good. So to get the best embryo, you need a choice. So the next thing is, people in Italy said, well, if this is so good for embryo freezing, why don't we try it for egg freezing? So they would take out, say, 7 or 8 eggs. They would fertilize 2, because those are the 2 you're going to put back. But you can't freeze embryos anymore, so you froze eggs. And then they started thawing those eggs, working on them, and realizing that actually you could, they were just as good as the fresh embryos.
Right.
So the second big push of pushing it into the realm of normal fertility medicine was the fact that lay, or you know, that society decided in one country that you can't freeze embryos, and then that made people look at egg freezing as a serious alternative to just discarding.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, once you proved that you could do it, then everybody jumped on the bandwagon and said, "Well, if it can be done for in Italy, then why not for cancer patients?" So again, that became big. Then why not for single women? So that's what we're discussing today. Why not for people who haven't found a partner yet?
That's right. So we'll come back and find out more about egg freezing. If you have a question, send it through 0162019000 or tweet to BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasudhi. Dr. Prashant Natkarni and Dr. Helena Lim, both fertility specialists in the studio with me. We're discussing egg freezing. Now, how important is consultation, Dr. Helena, when someone comes to you and says, you know, I might want to consider freezing eggs? What do you then, you know, say to them?
Okay, well, I think it's very important they are aware what they are getting themselves into.
Mm-hmm.
We have to ask them, what was the reason why you choose egg freezing over embryo freezing?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times these women will come and say that, yeah, I'm 38 years old, I'm 39, am I hitting the big 40s, and I don't have a partner. And I'm not sure whether in 2 years down the line, whether I'm going to have another new partner or something like that. So after the age of 40, I'm fully aware that my chance of pregnancy goes down. So is it a good idea that I have my eggs harvested now, since, you know, I haven't hit the age of 40, and, you know, to use my eggs later on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that is actually a very good and relevant question. But and then, yet, it's very important for people like us to actually tell them, yes, like just what Dr. Prashant said. Well, it's not really what we call insurance of your fertility.
Yes.
It is an option, definitely, but yet we need to be fully aware that sometimes it may not work. So 5 years down the road, after you have harvested the eggs, sometimes you'll find that when you thaw, they are not able to be fertilized. Then
right.
What are you going to do about that?
Okay, yeah. Interesting. Do you screen for infectious diseases or anything of that sort?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
From mummy, what sort of infectious diseases?
Yeah, things like hepatitis B, HIV, and so forth. Yeah.
Before you actually freeze.
Yeah.
And in the UK, Dr. Prashant, most clinics will turn you away after the age of 38. They will tell you that without young eggs, it's not worth the time or money. Would you agree?
I think whoever gave you that fact is wrong.
Really? This is coming from the UK newspapers.
No, that's not true at all.
No?
No.
So you wouldn't say, you wouldn't turn them away?
No, I wouldn't.
After the age of 38?
No, I'm very, very pro people who have difficulty or worried about their fertility. I would put the numbers to them,
mm-hmm,
and say, now that you're 38, your chances are lower than when you were 35. But I would also tell them that they're better than when you're 40. So as long as you understand the perspective of where you stand, I mean, I think if you came in at 44, I would say, look, don't bother. Because virtually pregnancy rates are zero at that point, 1% or something. But if you're 38 and we did an IVF for you and you had a partner and you just came in and said, can I have an IVF at 38? Our own statistics show that each time you put two embryos back, your pregnancy rate's about 40%. So why then would I not freeze your eggs at 38 or 39? You still have a 30, 40% chance of having a child each IVF. So I think that's probably wrong. That's not correct. The UK clinics go up to about 41, 42, unless they are talking about some kind of funded or publicly funded. But certainly the private clinics are doing a roaring business.
So there is no harm in that. But what about ladies who choose to have their babies in their 40s but have frozen their eggs, say in the 20s, for an example, right? What are their chances of having a successful pregnancy? Because you're past 40 now.
There's two parts to this. There's egg fertility and your own fertility as a person. Egg fertility is at its peak when you're in your 20s and early 30s. Mm-hmm. And if you can, as I said earlier, if you can freeze that for 10 years and you take it out 10 years later, your fertility is still where it was when you froze it, so 10 years ago. In the meantime, if you've gone from being a slim, healthy woman to...
He's starting again doctor.
Oh, no.
Sexist watch doctor. What you say.
No. I've got some vouchers for a gym here. I've gone into the gym business.
You can leave now.
He's hinting. Both of us.
But I think if your health has deteriorated, you've gone diabetic, your blood pressure has gone up, you're not healthy anymore. You know, now you're a 45-year-old woman whose heart and kidneys and lungs are having difficulty coping with you, and you're going to add a second life onto that, then there are problems. So the risks would be the same as for any 45-year-old who got pregnant. The risks are higher, but I mean, you know, you would have to go and get yourself checked out and make sure you're healthy and then move on. The majority of women who are 45 are still reasonably healthy and able to carry a child of their own. So there's no particular reason unless you have, you know, something has happened to you in the meantime.
Thing then, you know, considering the sort of life every woman leads today and, you know, the fact that we've all come out to work and we have careers that we want to pursue, don't you think that many of us should think about egg freezing in our 20s? Just as I said earlier, it could be an insurance policy. Just in case, you never know, right?
You're right. I mean, I think it depends.
I know this is. I'm saying all the right things for you.
No, you're not.
And you know what I mean.
I'm going to give you two answers there. You're looking at
but
me.
I'm but just thinking.
First of all, you're being entirely invasive. The majority of women in their 20s by 35 are going to find a partner and have two or three kids anyway.
Majority, yes.
So you're just putting fear into them for no reason. B, you're mining their pockets. It's costly. It's not cheap. So unless you particularly feel that you're at a point where you're not going to find a partner, it's really not worth doing. I think if you get to 33, 34, 35, and there's nothing on the horizon. We see people who have had a marriage, and then the marriage is broken down. Mm-hmm. Their ex-partner has moved on. And particularly if he has his child already with a new partner, then that pressure is on you to at least come because there's no one else. You see career women who either don't have a stable relationship or have a relationship which they're not sure is going towards having a child in the near future, coming in and saying, can I freeze? I think in situations like that, social freezing is reasonable and responsible. I think to tell everyone that you may need it, the majority of people don't need it.
Right. When should we decide that it could be a good insurance policy? At what age?
Is there a right answer as to when you get married? There isn't, right? So I think it's the same.
No,
you know when it is. Okay, if you're looking biologically, your fertility as a woman begins to start coming down after you cross 35. And by that time, you would have some idea of where your own personal life is headed. You know, if you happen to be a strong career woman with no man on the horizon, but you think, you know, in 5 years' time, I would have reached the peak of my career and then maybe I'll have time. Sure, I think you would do it then. But I certainly wouldn't rush if you're under 30. Somewhere between 30 and 35, as your life events unfold and you know where you stand, I think it's a reasonable time to make that decision.
As of November last year, only apparently 12 babies were born from frozen eggs in the whole of UK.
Again, I'm sure
not
that's
accurate.
Wrong.
Maybe it's government statistics.
No,
12 is very
no,
few.
No, he's probably spoken to one particular doctor who said I had 12.
Okay, possible. But okay, 1% in the US. are choosing apparently to freeze their eggs. 1%, would you consider that high?
Very high. Again, I doubt that statistic. Because 1% of what? You know, if you said 1% of women who came and asked about it, yes, maybe. But I doubt if that is that much. It's not that high.
Not 1% of the whole population.
That's a lot of
people.
No. That is a lot of people. Yeah. You'd be very happy if that was the case here.
Oh. Quite often when people don't have statistics, they say 1 to show it's actually quite low. You know, it's a low number is what they mean.
0.09%. 0.9%.
But obviously that the both of you are here, you want to spread some kind of awareness, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So what is this awareness for? Who are you talking to? You forgot to discuss this before.
We didn't discuss anything at all.
Okay, who is it for? Firstly, the obvious, the person facing cancer treatment. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. Yeah. Cancer or some sort of illness that's going to be debilitating over the next few years, and the doctor's going to say you can't get pregnant, and it's going to damage your ovaries. So that's out of the way. The one we're talking about today is social egg freezing. I think someone between 30 and 35 who doesn't have a, what we call a regular boyfriend who's going to commit himself, or you're not sure that this particular relationship is going to work, but you're worried that by the time this ends and the next one comes, you're going to be 43 years old, then it's not unreasonable at all to come and ask about it, find out what the chances are, and freeze it. Knowledge is power. If you don't find out in time what your options are, sometimes it's too late for a woman. There's no harm in finding out about it. Whether it suits you is something else.
Right. And you spoke about the cost just now, Dr. Prashant. It is quite costly.
Yeah.
Why is it so costly?
The same reason IVF is costly. It's exactly IVF, as Dr. Helena said just now, minus putting in the sperm and making an embryo. You're doing a full IVF cycle. And the cost of an IVF cycle is somewhere between 15 and 17,000 ringgit. Mm-hmm. And so once you do, and because that's what you need to get the woman to the point where you can remove a number of good eggs from her body.
And success rates would depend on?
The woman's age and the number of eggs.
Okay. Very few babies as yet have been born from frozen eggs. Have you had that experience before?
We have a few here and there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, because it's not of common things that we do. For egg freezing, a lot of egg freezing that we do is actually incidental, whereby on the day of egg collection, the partner cannot produce a sperm, whatever we do, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we have no choice but to freeze the egg and then ask him to come back, produce some sperm for us in a later few months later, and then fertilize it and make it into an embryo and put it back. Since then, we have had
done very well,
I must say.
I think we've had 6 such, and 5 of them have had babies now.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's fine.
And the whole process of fertilizing, eggs with a, frozen egg, are there risks involved at all?
You mean in the freezing thawing of eggs?
Yes.
That's the thing, isn't it? We don't know. IVF has been around for now 35 years. So we know it's safe. Egg freezing has been around in numbers, perhaps for the last 5 to 6 years. So the oldest babies, and there are lots of them, it's not 12, it's a huge numbers, are perhaps only 5 years old. What we know until 5 is that they are no different from IVF babies. But we don't know at the age of 25 what it's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's not very different because the technology is the same, but until you do the science, you don't know. So it is. That's why I think somewhere on that sheet you gave me, you said it's experimental. It's experimental only in the sense it's not experimental at all. It's become part of mainstream IVF. But what's the long-term outcome? If your oldest baby is 6 years old, you only have 6 years worth of data. And mm-hmm. in medicine, we like to see 30, 40, 50 years worth of data before we say this is wonderful.
Right. How do you manage expectations of mummies who freeze their eggs?
Well, I think it's very important to let them know that what they're in for. Exactly, the financial cost of it, the psychological cost of it, as well as the expectation of how what happens in 5 years when I thaw the eggs. Mm-hmm. Will it all survive? Can I use them? So it is those risks that they have to be fully aware of. Okay, and then they have to actually know that we don't have a lot of long-term data to support all of this. So I think they have to be really, really clear about all these things before they go through that. Okay.
And so, okay, I've frozen my eggs, right? And then now I want to go into IVF.
Yes.
So I thaw the egg,
yep.
Fertilize it.
Yep.
Can I freeze it again?
You can.
Yep, absolutely.
But and that's fine.
Yep,
absolutely.
Yep. This new way of freezing, you can freeze and thaw an egg any number of times. Nothing seems to change.
Okay, very interesting. Mm. What about genetic screening? Can that be conducted?
On the eggs?
Mm-hmm.
You can on the egg, but you would normally do it on the embryo. Because if you have 10 eggs, you probably have 4 embryos. The cost of genetic screening is very, very high.
Mm-hmm.
So we normally, and remember, some abnormalities come from the father's sperm as well.
Yes.
So you would make the embryos, make somewhere between, depending on what stage you do it, 8 cell or 32 cell, and then remove a few cells and then look at the chromosomes and make sure they're normal. That's coming in the next generation. But currently, it's very costly and very invasive.
Okay.
But I think, you know, in 5 to 10 years, it's going to be routine for all IVFs that patients will be offered this because costs keep coming down.
Okay. And if there is a message or what you feel women need to know about egg freezing, what would it be?
A, it's available. B, even though it's an insurance, it's not 100% insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And just now you asked Dr. Hillian that question, what do they need to know? I think the biggest thing they need to know is that it's not like normal insurance. If you have a car and someone bangs your car, 100% your insurance company is going to pay you for it. When you thaw your eggs, your pregnancy rate is only what it is at this point in time. And if you're 35, your pregnancy rate is 50%. It's not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So if I freeze your eggs with one cycle of freezing, when I thaw those, 50% of the time you're going to have a baby. But the other 50% are not. But a lot of women don't understand that. They think, oh, I've frozen my eggs and now I can la-di-da until I come back. And
right.
100% of the time I'm going to have a baby. You're
because
not.
I've had, it doesn't mean healthy eggs. It equals
it's the same as
successful.
Yeah, IVF. You know, IVF is not universally successful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Your message, Dr. Helena?
I think it's important that women is fully aware that this is available now. However, it is also very important they don't use this as an excuse to delay
pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which the tendency would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
There. So you need to understand the whole concept more than anything else. Dr. Prashant, you want to leave me with a message?
I thought we did it.
You did it already.
Yeah, okay.
See, I can't get enough of your messages.
You've got time on your hands, right?
I do. Couple of seconds.
But anything? I think, you know, it's just the thing of the future. There's a strong lobby. There's a strong demand. If you go to America and some parts of Europe, there are actually clinics that don't do IVF. They're just egg freezing clinics, particularly catering for women who want to come and not feel couples, not see couples or, you know, friends of theirs sitting there. They want to go in there, ask. Everybody's in the same boat. They go, they freeze, and they leave. So that's coming. And, you know, you can't keep away from the fact that there is demand because there is a need. Women are aging all over the world.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. How do you manage this privacy thing in your clinic? Have you taken that into account?
We try our best. But you can't, right? I mean, quite often
it's
people
hard.
Come in and say, oh, hello, I saw you in the office this morning.
But there's only one reason why you were there.
What are you doing here? No, I came for a pap smear. Baby. Knowing full well that Dr. Prashant only does fertility work.
Exactly. You may want to consider, you know, a separate room or whatever, you know, a separate building altogether.
Waiting rooms are contagious. They're often bad places.
And you bump into your friends there.
Yeah.
Like I have, you know, friends, long lost friends who go, oh, you're here.
It must be quite hard, isn't it? We laugh about it, but it must be quite difficult. It is still stigma in a way attached to
that. Well, it's not stigma, but it's something private. The whole world doesn't need to know that I'm trying to have a baby.
Mm.
That's my business. So it's not so much that people see it as a stigma. They just feel that there's no reason for me to share with you until I'm pregnant.
Yeah. And it's societal pressure to a very large extent.
In Asia, yes.
Yes, in Asia, very
Absolutely.
Much so. Thank you both very much for joining
Thank
me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Prashant Nadkarni and Dr. Helena Lim, both fertility specialists on egg freezing on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.